evening, everyone. This is Kristen Hawkins. I'm the president of Students for Life of America. Thanks for joining us on our Marching Forward webcast. We are so excited to have you all joining us tonight. Just to let everyone know, we are recording this webcast, and it will be up on our webpage. So if anyone wants to refer this on to friends afterwards, you'll be able to do so. You know, Tuesday night, our nation witnessed an historic event, one that's going to impact each and every one of us for decades to come. And I know many people are very concerned about our future at the moment. And, you know, we were so honored at Students for Life to be able to partner with many of you, you know, over 60 pro-life student groups across the country stood up and they took action this October in talking to friends, neighbors, everyone they knew about voting pro-life first. And that was so, so important. And we were so honored. We were able to reach, because of students, over 400,000 voting families, and that was just incredible. You know, and what we were able to do is talk to people about why voting pro-life first mattered. Why is abortion such a critical issue in voting? We were able to share our hearts with over 400,000 families, and that was just awesome. And I know many of us might be discouraged or disappointed by Tuesday's results, but, you know, the reason we're gathering tonight is because we want you to take away one thing, and that surrender is not an option. We have to continue to march forward courageously, doing what we've been doing for the past several years. Because no matter who the President of the United States is, no matter who controls the Senate or the House, abortion is still happening every single day. And that's the fact that drives our team to continue forward and should be driving you and your campus group forward to continue to achieve our goal of abolishing all abortions in our lifetime. You know, tomorrow when you wake up, and as you go about your day, go to classes, go to work, 3,300 babies will perish. And their mothers are going to be deceived, deceived into believing that abortion is their only option. And Planned Parenthood is still going to be on your campus targeting you. You know, one of the top things we know and some of the things we're going to be talking about tonight that we've got to do is we've got to continue forward exposing Planned Parenthood, the nation's abortion drive, educating our friends and peers and our family about their deceptive business practices, and putting them out of business by reaching their would-be clients with a message of truth, hope, and love first. We know, and studies have proven, our own studies have proven, the more people know about Planned Parenthood, the less they are to like them. And the more alternatives they present to women facing an unplanned pregnancy, the more likely she is going to choose life. We've got some exciting things planned in the coming week, in the coming months, and some of those things we're going to be able to share with you here tonight. So stay tuned, especially at the end of this call, for an announcement of a national event we're hosting next week. Right now, I'd like to bring in Billy Valentine from the Susan B. Anthony List. Billy is a former SFLA officer and was actually on the ground in Ohio during the election. Billy, can you talk to us a little bit tonight about who voted, how they voted, and some bright spots from Tuesday's election?
Yeah, absolutely. Can you hear me okay, Kristen?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Well, you know, look, without a doubt, I know everyone is just tremendously disappointed from Tuesday's results. You know, basically the breakdown went like this for, you know, for reelecting Obama, Romney largely won whites. He largely won men, and Obama largely won women and won non-whites. But what I want to emphasize here is our issue did not lose. Our issue is not the reason why we lost the presidential election. In fact, it's actually quite the opposite. You see, the Romney campaign and his super PAC allies ran on one single issue, the economy. The last time we won a presidential election was in 2004, and that's when Bush put together a winning coalition that was driven by people who voted based on moral values. Now, this isn't my opinion. If you go and look at the CNN exit polls for 2004, the number one issue people voted on was moral values. That was 23% of the electorate. And of those voters, Bush won 80% of those voters. Now, it shouldn't also come as a surprise that Bush performed exceedingly well among Reagan Democrats and Hispanics because he talked about social issues. So I want to emphasize it very strongly. Our issue was not the loser on Tuesday night. Now you might be wondering, what about the war on women? What about the war on women messaging? Well, the problem was any time the Democrats deployed that strategy or Obama deployed the strategy, the Republican talking point was, well, what about the economy? What about the way the economy has hurt women? And what that did is because Republicans didn't say, you want to talk about extremism, you want to talk about the war, the real war on women, let's talk about abortion. Let's talk about your extremism on abortion. Let's talk about how you support taxpayer funding of abortion up until the moment of birth for any reason. But instead, they refused to talk about that war and instead tried to, you know, make an economic claim. And they're the ones who lost with that message. Had they talked about the real war on women, about abortion, about Obama's extremism on abortion, I think the Democrats would have been less likely to deploy the alleged war on women messaging, or they would have lost that messaging war. So I just can't emphasize it enough. Our issue did not lose. And largely, thanks to the work of Students for Life and other pro-life organizations, pro-lifers did get out and vote. And in fact, Romney actually did better among white Catholic men than McCain or Bush did. Largely, you know, I think because of Obama's assault on the Catholic Church with the HHS mandate and on all Christians. And the evangelicals got out and voted as well. But again, those are pro-lifers getting out to vote. There's other people who are with us on the life issue where they really need some encouragement and education, and it has to be nationalized like it was in 04. And again, I'm talking about Reagan Democrats and Hispanics. And it's a very sombering number, but Hispanic Catholics voted for President Obama by a 56% margin. That's extremely troublesome. But again, the economic message fell on deaf ears, and they need to be brought into the fold by other issues, a major issue being the life issue. Again, our issue did not lose. Now, let's talk about some of the bright spots from Tuesday. I think the biggest victory for our movement politically on Tuesday was the election of Deb Fischer in Nebraska to the U.S. Senate. It's hard to believe, but just 3 years ago, we did not have a single pro-life woman in the U.S. Senate. And then in 2010, we elected Kelly Ayotte out of New Hampshire. She's been a hero to our cause in the Senate. And now we just doubled our forces with the election of Deb Fischer. Now, there's 20 women in the U.S. and only two are pro-life. So we still have a lot of work to do. But that was very, very encouraging. And then on the House side, we reelected two of our heroes, Congressman Steve King and Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. And I'm sure everyone knows on this call there's a difference between those in office who vote pro-life and then those who actually lead on it. And Bachmann and King are two true, true leaders. So those were some of the better things that happened on Tuesday. And then in terms of where do we need to go from here? Well, one, you know, I think it's very clear we've got to, as Kristen said, we have to recommit ourselves. We have to double down. We have to fight Obama and Planned Parenthood these next 4 years. Now is not a time to wave the white flag. Now is time to recommit yourself and double our efforts toward fighting his policies. And one area where we've made a tremendous amount of progress, even under this administration, has been at the state level. That doesn't change. We have to continue to pass laws at the state level. We have to continue to pass pro-life legislation at the House level, and we have to continue fighting Obama in the Senate, especially when judges come up, and anything he does at the executive level. And just a few things that we're going to be focused on doing at the SBA list is we've got to elect more pro-life women. I think it was clear with some of the messaging problems we had on our end that had we had more women candidates, we wouldn't have those problems. And what Todd Akin and what Richard Murdoch said, what they meant was not wrong. In fact, they were taking a very courageous stand, but it's how they said it. So one thing we're going to be working on is making sure that candidates the pro-life movement get behind are well-versed in our messaging and know how to answer the tough abortion questions. Last but not least, we've got to do outreach to Hispanics. They're totally with us on the life issue. More Hispanics are pro-life than white Americans. We've got to do Hispanic outreach. Lastly, you know, I can't emphasize it enough. We've got to continue at the state level, have to continue pushing at the House level. We're going to have some huge fights with judges. And I can't thank everyone on this call enough for everything you did for this election. I can't emphasize enough, our issue is not the loser. In fact, it's actually quite the opposite. And just beg you to stay in this fight, double down, and recommit yourself tonight.
Thanks, Billy. That was great. You know, before I introduce Phil Eddy from the SLA team I was looking at some of the exit polling data, and, you know, I wasn't surprised when 60% of 18 to 29-year-olds voted for President Obama. It was actually 6% less than in 2008 when he had won 66%. But we know that 60%, an overwhelming majority of our generation, voted for the most pro-abortion president in our history. Yet when Gallup and other national credible organizations poll this generation, they find out that this generation is pro-life. So what we know is that there are pro-life students and young people who actually voted for President Obama. And I think this speaks to a disconnect that I know you all see on your campuses, our team sees, between knowing abortion is wrong to voting for only pro-life candidates. And I think more work has got to be done on this. I think a lot of people get scared when we talk about making abortion illegal because we've been raised in a very moral relative culture where we know things are right and wrong, but we have a struggle with telling people, yes, that's wrong, what you're doing is wrong, or that action is wrong. And I think that's something we need to be talking more about as pro-life young people. How do we communicate this message? But, you know, when I was looking at this polling, Phil, you brought up a really good point, you know, saying this is actually a good sign, showing us that the pro-life issue is now transcending just one political party, that there are Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Libertarians, Green Party, all who there are pro-lifers in these parties, and that's good for the pro-life movement. So can you tell us some other factors you were looking at and some of, you know, looking at from the other side about this election and what it means for pro-lifers?
Yeah, well, first off, thank you, Kristen, for giving me the opportunity to speak tonight. But I always like to look on the positive side of things, and there are a lot of really great things that will put a smile on your face in terms of this election. For starters, since President Obama took office, the number of active pro-life student organizations nationwide has tripled. And that now stands at more than 700. That didn't go down, and it didn't stay stagnant like the number of pro-abortion student organizations, but it actually tripled. It's going to rise again during Obama's second term, and Students for Life is going to commit ourselves to doing that. Earlier this fall, we launched our aggressive iVote Pro-Life First initiative with the goal of reaching 300,000 pro-life voter households and encouraging them to vote pro-life. But we're already past 400,000. Numbers are still coming in. And while that pales in comparison to what Planned Parenthood did, I looked at the numbers and I made a few comparisons. And Planned Parenthood did just about 10 times the number of voter touches that students did, that pro-life students did. But they have a budget 1,000 times the size of Students for Life, and they have 2,000 times the staff members. When you look at it that way, pro-life students really stepped up. And there are a lot of pro-life Americans that don't identify with a major party, they don't identify as conservative, or they just don't vote. And when you look at it this way, that the pro-life movement is beyond just one party or one candidate or one ideology, you see that we really are making gains. I have a friend who's listening right now who didn't vote because he was really disillusioned with both candidates. And I can see that. But when you think that there are people out there who aren't voting the way that, you know, a pro-life organization want them to vote, but they're still pro-life, when their friend comes to them and says, I'm pregnant, I'm thinking about abortion, they're not going to push them towards abortion. They may refer them to a pregnancy center. I'm going to tell you, just this week, I have two friends that informed me, two separate friends that informed me that they're not going to have abortions now, that they're going to choose life. I'm thrilled about that. And here's another thing. President Obama's first 4 years essentially killed the mainstream modern anti-war movement in this country. I know myself, I marched in some of those big rallies where there'd be 500,000 people in the streets of New York or D.C. We haven't had one during Obama's presidency, and that might be a sign that the pro-abortion movement, abortion advocates, that they might be seeing some problems with their network, that people become complacent. Another positive thing, rape exceptions were being openly talked about on the national stage, and 13 Republican Senate candidates still stood up for life, even though they were being hammered for their positions. And my last point is Mika Brzezinski, who is an MSNBC host, she said this week to another person that she was interviewing, you would be surprised at the number of people who are pro-life in this country. That's impressive. She, not just because she used the term pro-life, but because she's admitting that there are a lot of pro-lifers out there, even though they might not stand for the pro-life major party candidate during an election. They're still being counted. And so, you know, we can hope, those of us who pray can pray, and we can take action to ensure a pro-life future for America. But I just wanted to inspire you and give you some points that there is some good that came from this and some things that we can take away.
Thanks, Phil. That's a unique perspective, and I appreciate you sharing it with us tonight. Right now, I'd like to introduce Troy Newman. Troy is the president of Operation Rescue, a great friend of Students for Life, an amazing pro-lifer, abortion abolitionist. And Troy and I were talking last night about the election and how what happened on Tuesday actually plays into abolitionism history and the abolitionism of slavery. And we often talk a lot about slavery and the civil rights movement when we talk about abortion. Troy, can you share some of those insights you had yesterday with everyone?
I'd be happy to, Kristen. Thank you. And anything I say, I want to agree with Billy and with Phil Eddy, absolutely. And anything I say is not to contradict them at all, but just in light of my study of history. I've been in the movement for over 22 years, and I've seen some bad elections in the past. We lost 1992 and 1996 to Bill Clinton, and those were some horrible years, but we still made inroads. And in my study of history, I want to make at least two observations in light of the abolition movement and things that I think can be easily fixed and put us on the road to victory, which we already are. Number one, we put too much stock in politicians and the big church. I'm talking like the big box church. Both big government fixes and big church fixes to killing babies are roads to ruin. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't vote or that the presidential election is not of enormous concerns or consequences, but likewise, attempting to court big church leaders is very much part of our overall strategic goal to winning the culture. But historically, and I'm speaking of the abolition movement, they've not only been monumental failures, but have indeed put have been part and parcel to the overall problem. Again, we should vote, we should go to church, but in order to win the war against the children, we have to stop just fighting the battle and pick tactics that work and an overall strategy that makes victory inevitable, just like the abolitionist movement. Judging by the recent Supreme Court decision on Obamacare and the outcome of the presidential election, we must, and I say must, conclude that any strategy that ends with a happy ending if the Supreme Court is doomed to failure, at least for the near future. I know this sounds fatalistic, but I'm not, and Kristen can attest, and anybody that hears me speak knows that I keep a scorecard of wins and losses, and I can unequivocally say that we are winning. By the numbers, the abortion rate has dropped by a quarter and abortion mills by three quarters just in the last 10 or 15 years. This is happening just like during the abolition movement in the United States. The Underground Railroad, the fiery preachers, the radicals like John Brown, the popular literature like Uncle Tom's Cabin, the countless anti-slavery societies, just like Students for Life is an anti Abortion Society, made the abolition of slavery inevitable. Slavery was on the way out before the Civil War, which makes my second point. And it's easily correctable. The abolitionist movement was not, for the most part, pro, say, personhood, to use a common word today. It's not pro-person. They were expressly anti-slavery. And today's pro-life movement or abolition movement needs to be less about pro-life, although that's certainly important. But as a whole, we need to detail the case against abortion. And when we focus on serious botched abortions, abortion deaths like Tanya Reed's, maternal complications, illegal activity in the abortion cartel, the other side has no answer, and we defeat them every single time, and it's the same thing that the anti-slavery movement did. And here's an example. This is what I shared with Kristen last night, how the abolition movement thought they failed but didn't. In 1857, the Supreme Court issued an opinion in Dred Scott, and, you know, Scott was a black man suing for his freedom from slavery. The Supreme Court ruled that any black man, free or slave, was not a person and therefore not a citizen of the United States. He had no standing in the case. The abolitionists of the time, who had been working so hard, placed all their hopes in that case to end slavery. And after the decision, a prominent abolitionist was quoted in a Philadelphia newspaper saying, basically to the effect, the Dred Scott decision will enshrine slavery in the United States for another 100 years. But in less than 4 years, the United States began a war, not expressly over slavery, more about states' rights and trade tariffs and so forth. But the end result was an abolition of slavery. The prayers and steady-handed work ended slavery, but no one could predict how it would come. Similarly, in 1987, President Ronald Reagan, one of my favorite presidents, stood in front of the Berlin Wall, which separated East Germany and Free West Germany, and Reagan said, and everybody knows the words, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." But not a lot of people remember that the Chancellor of East Germany said, "This wall and what it stands for will remain, gonna get this, for another 100 years, but in less than 30 months, that wall came crumbling down and freedom prevailed." And today, I see the emails, you see the Facebook posts. They say, "We've lost America. Abortion will never end in our lifetimes." Don't believe them. We reap what we sow, and we have sown life for over 40 years. And just like that young Berliner that spray painted on the Berlin Wall, freedom will prevail. Beliefs become reality. And I believe with my entire being that we can bring the human tragedy of abortion to an end. We can confidently say the abortion cartel will not prevail. We're the abolitionist movement. We're pro-life, we're anti-abortion, and we will not relent until every baby is saved, till every abortion mill is closed, and every baby killer is behind bars. We may not know when it's going to happen, whether today or tomorrow, but we can say with certainty, with the youth led by Kristen Hawkins and Students for Life, abortion and what it stands for, guaranteed, will not continue in America for another decade.
You talked, that was awesome. Thanks so much for sharing all that. That was great. I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready to go out into battle. I am inspired. I cannot wait to get out to the campuses tomorrow. I'm ready. We've brought Brendan Amora, our National Director of Field Operations, on the call tonight. You know, Brendan and I have been talking, and I know I spoke to a couple of student leaders yesterday, and people were asking, okay, what do we do now? What kind of events do we have on campus? Where do we go from here? So Brendan's got a list of some things to work on, and then when he's finished, I'm going to have a really exciting announcement for everyone. So, Brendan, want to take it away?
Yeah, thanks, Kristen. I'm excited that so many of you are on with us tonight because there is so much to do. But I know the election did not go the way we wanted, and we have 4 more years of a radically pro-abortion president. But abortion became the focal point of this national election, and we have an opportunity to capitalize on that as we continue to promote a culture of life on our campuses and in our communities. you're going to hear about a prime opportunity for doing just that at the end of this call with that national event that Kristen just talking about that we're hosting next week. So the most important thing to remember right now is that your mission, our mission, did not change on Tuesday night. If Governor Romney had won the election, and I woke up the next morning, though my attitude would have been different, my to-do list would have been the same. But at the play, we are already working on the next steps of the pro-life movement, and we want to share some of that with you tonight. First, we need to continue doing what we've been doing, because it's working. America is more pro-life now than it has been at any time in the last 40 years. Keep up your campus activism. Keep looking for ways for your group to support pregnant and parenting students in Canada. Keep talking about abortion with your family and with your peers. Raise awareness on campus for events such as candlelight vigils to pray for the victims of abortion, pray for an end to abortion. Keep setting up those cemeteries of the innocents to really show your campus the magnitude of what abortion does to society. Keep posting speakers to bring my intellectual arguments to the campus to show people why abortion is wrong. The tide is turning in our generation is becoming more pro-life. Use social media to promote pro-life message. Sign up for the Status 365 app at www.abolishabortion.com to automatically post one message per day to your Facebook group. We have seen the social media posts save lives and continue to do so. As a movement, we must continue to beat the drum to reduce supply and demand for abortion in our community. There are so many projects to do with. Get involved with local pro-life initiatives, such as forcing parents out of the local schools, gathering signatures for a personhood amendment, or lobbying your legislature's pro-life bills. That's your save lives. At Students for Life, we are working heavily on the anti-abortion industry right there in high school and college. For too long, Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion vendor, has targeted our generation, and we must stop. I can't reveal too much to you, but there's going to be a display that you can bring to your campus, a marketing campaign that highlights how abortion outside parenthood manipulates young people to make millions of dollars off of them, so much more. We will be unveiling the whole plan at our national conference in Washington on January 6th, the day after the March of Life. I hope all of you will join us for that. You can sign up online at www.ffalive.org. So keep up the courageous work that you're doing on your campus. We are making a difference. Changing minds, changing hearts, and saving lives. Every day we are getting closer to abolishing abortion. There's a long way to go, but this is a battle that we will win. The election is just one moment for us. The two-elected will have momentum. It is because of you. Thank you so much for all that you're doing. Let's get this done.
Thanks, Brendan. That was great. Now we have our marching orders. We know what we must do. I have a couple of things I just want to throw out there for everyone tonight. I know we've got to get going. We've got to go back to putting kids to bed and studying for exams. I want to encourage each and every one of you to make sure you're at our national conference on January 26th in Washington, D.C. We're going to sell out again this year, about 2,000 students, but we're going to be revealing our new strategy and some new events that you guys can put out on campus for our Planned Parenthood Spring Initiative. You know, it's not going to be a short-term thing. This is going to be a long-term plan, but something that we know we must engage. We must engage in our campuses of providing the alternatives to Planned Parenthood on our campus, but also talking about the abortion industry and really cutting at the supply and the demand of abortion and Planned Parenthood, the abortion Goliath. As Eli said earlier this week, I talked about that domino that we need to fall, and that's that domino. And the big announcement I want to make for tonight, I'm so honored to announce, is that this Thursday, November 15th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Students for Life is going to be co-sponsoring an event at the University of St. Thomas in Houston, Texas. This is going to be a live panel discussion called What About Rape? This panel will feature Brian Baumberger from the Radiant Foundation. I know many of you all have seen Ryan's work. He was actually conceived in rape. There's going to be a young woman, Rebecca, who was raped and became pregnant as a result of her rape. And she'll talk about being a rape survivor and a mother. And then also Dr. Donna Harrison, a pro-life OBGYN and former president of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. This is going to be an all-star panel, and we're going to be live streaming it. So each of you can join in on this event. So it's next Thursday, November 15th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I know during this election, those in favor of abortion use the horrificness of rape to justify keeping abortion legal. Many of us on the pro-life side, and we talked about this earlier, even some of the candidates, they didn't know how to answer this question of what about rape. This panel is going to do just that. We're going to take this issue head on, and we're going to have three unique perspectives, three unique stories we want you to hear. So you can go to whataboutrape.com right now, and we have uploaded a flyer. A really awesome flyer that you can fill in details, put on campus, and invite those on campus to join you next Thursday night in a room in the student union to watch this live stream and then have a discussion about rape and abortion. These discussions are very important on campus, just bringing together students from all different backgrounds, all different political perspectives, all different views of abortion, and just talking about the issue. Because we know every time we talk about abortion, we win because truth is on our side. You know, what I said on Monday and Tuesday was true. You know, this campaign wasn't about rape. But what we know this campaign taught, we didn't lose it because of the rape issue. What it taught us is that abortion is a dividing issue in our nation. And we have to continue to move forward. And we have to continue talking about abortion. And folks, it's going to get even more intense in every future election because our nation is divided. This is an issue that's hurt each and every one of us because almost one in two women will have at least one abortion. So each and every one of us has had a personal experience with abortion. And until we finally abolish all abortions in America, we're going to be continuing to talk about it. And we need to learn how to talk about these issues and this awful issue of rape and the horrificness of rape. And how do we talk about this from a pro-life perspective? So I hope you'll join us next week. Go to whataboutrape.com tonight, tomorrow, next week. Download the flyer. We're going to live stream the event right on that page. So we'll be sending you more details. Thank you for all that you do. I hope tonight was an inspiring call. You got some good information you can relay back to your groups and pro-life friends. I want you to know that we're winning every day. Surrender is not an option. And we're here to be with you and walk every step of the way. And we want you to be courageous on your campuses because we know together we will be able to abolish abortion in our lifetime. Thank you all. God bless. And I hope to see you all on January 26th in Washington, D.C.
The moderator has left the conference.